This is the Be Positive podcast in association with Cork's Red FM. My name is Eimear O'Mahony and I'm one half of the Life Hustle Project. We're using social media for social good to uplift and inspire and to present a more realistic, authentic viewpoint of everyday life and topics through social media. And who better to bring along for the episode and invite into the studio than sports royalty, no less. First up, we have dual star Rena Buckley herself. It's such an honour to have a woman of your decorated calibre in the studio. And I literally can't walk to the shop. I'm so unfit. So having somebody like you here, I'm sure I'm going to be completely motivated when I leave to get outdoors and get active a bit more. So thanks for joining us, Rena.
Thanks very much for having me.
And sitting next to Rena is Stephen MacDonald. I know Stephen actually a long time and I've always admired him and always looked up to his dedication and how he literally lived for Cork as well. So it's such a huge honour to have you both here today.
Good to be here.
Thank you. So let's get down to business. I want to know, do you both come from sporting families, Rena?
So I suppose in reality no is the answer. So while my parents have been hugely supportive at home in terms of sport for us, they wouldn't have come from hugely sporting families themselves.
Okay.
So I have one older brother and I have a twin sister. So I suppose when my brother was young, he kind of got into sport and into GAA in particular. And he was a fellow who introduced footballs and hurleys into our house.
Brilliant. Was it something so you always wanted to run and pick up the hurley or?
Yeah, so he was obviously older, so he was kind of dragging us out at the start, you know, but obviously I absolutely loved it. And then I suppose I went to Barings National School.
Okay.
And GAA was a huge part of primary school, and you know, we had there was huge enthusiasm about, you know, skiing a skull and stuff like that. And even the blitzes in school was a huge part of it, you know. And, you know, if you're bold, you weren't allowed outside to play hurling. And that was like the worst.
In my day, it was, no, you can't watch Home and Away for a week. So that for you was 10 times worse, I think.
Yeah. So, look, it was, you know, it took off straight away. And in fairness, everyone at home was hugely supportive. My sister still plays. My brother isn't living at home. He doesn't play anymore. But, okay, you know, we'd definitely be a big sporty family. No.
Okay.
But naturally, unfortunately.
Okay, that's brilliant. Stephen?
Yeah, I'd be very similar to Rena. Well, my family never played sport. Like, I came from the opposite of a sporting family, to be honest. And I was just lucky where I lived. I lived in, I suppose, Glen Heights Park. Glen, you see the Glen in the front of the name. Glen Rovers Hurling Club was about a 2 minute walk.
Okay.
And coming
in.
Surrounded. So I was surrounded by sport. I used to play soccer for Rockmount, actually. Okay. That was my first love of sport, was soccer.
Okay.
Roy Keane was a Rockmount player as well, so he was definitely a big role model, coming from the north side as well, coming from Mayfield, so very very close to where I'm from.
Amazing.
And yeah, look, I mean, I had multiple friends my own age in the park. There was about 6 or 7 of us, and we used to play every sport, and with it then being 2 minute walk from where we were, we used to go down there and play every sport down there. But obviously it was the Glen, and we ended up sticking to hurling, and that's kind of where the hurling came from me. But it was never introduced through the family or anything like that. I've got an older brother, an older sister, and a younger sister, and none of them have ever played any sport. So it was definitely a barrier that I broke by getting involved and sticking to it.
And you said there that, like, your peers, you all came out and you're all playing, and that kind of introduced the love of it. I mean, and I'm showing my age now, but I remember during Italian 90 running out our front doors after games and throwing footballs up in the air in the park, and everyone ran out the minute the final whistle went. I'm in Turner's Cross, like, so we all ran out into the park and we were all playing, and there was no green in my park, but we were still all out. It didn't matter, you know. Do you think that's still there today, the getting outdoors and the, you know?
I don't think it is, no.
Okay.
I think do you know what, just I might as well say it now because I might forget.
Yeah.
Obviously, we all know that technology is a huge part of everyone's life, and it's becoming more of a part of the youth and children and what they do.
And a challenge for parents to see, like, how, because it's still very fresh and new, so it's kind of a case of how do we get them to use less screen time?
And, you know, I was going into the referees. We had a game yesterday with the Glen.
Right.
I was walking past the referee's room. The referee was there with his 3 kids. They were from the ages, I would say, 2 to 6, and they were all reading books.
Wow.
There was no iPads, there was no iPhones, so I stopped, went in, had a chat with the referee, and I was like, geez, you know, that's something that you wouldn't see often. So I was kind of congratulating him on and his achievement to get that.
You would even think that, though. That's, you know, unusual to see kids with books. How sad.
But yeah, and you know, it was just it was a reminder of, you know, that it's not, it can be done, and you know, technologies and everything at the end of the day.
Yes, yes, and it still is very new, I think, and that's why, you know, everyone is kind of glued to it, and it's sucking in our time for sure. But with regards to sporting when you were young, Rena, how, like, what values do you think sporting brought you or brought into your life from a young age?
Yeah, I suppose I think the big thing that I loved about sport, and I still love about sport, is that it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, when you get out onto the field, everyone's the same.
I love that.
It's my favourite thing about sport.
That's just brilliant. There's not a lot of things you can say that
no,
about.
No, definitely not. It didn't matter, you know, what family you came out of. You know, it didn't matter, who anybody was on the field. You had to prove your worth on the field and do your very best. And you had to pull together. Because, especially in a team sport, you know, you have to pull together with your teammates.
Yes.
So I suppose that's the thing I learned, you know, I suppose, most quickly. And it's what I'm still learning, you know. It's a process. Like, you never ever get it fully right, I think.
Amazing, though. And it's so true that, you know, there are values that should be kind of core values for...
For life, yeah.
Yeah, for life.
Yeah.
Stephen?
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think sport, for me, was a microcosm of life, in that you're going out there, you're under pressure, you're nervous. Are you good enough? Are you not good enough? You don't want to leave people down. You've got teammates. They're all in the same position. You know, they're having the same thoughts. So within that, like, you know, how to overcome that is through, you know, your character and embracing core values, as you said, of hard work, dedication, you know, being willing to be vulnerable out there, be honest, courageous, all that kind of stuff. And by embracing those characters, you can do well and in anything, you know. I suppose for me, sport was a way from a young age to find out the importance of those values, you know.
Brilliant, brilliant. And for both of you, I mean, not everyone has the chance in life to do what they love at any particular time. So what kind of importance would you place on someone in today's society doing what they love?
In terms of sport, is it, or in general?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously made you both very happy. It drove you on. It was something that you got up and put on your training gear and went out to day in, day out.
Yeah, I suppose I've been very lucky. I've always loved sport, you know. I've always loved running around. I've loved playing with a ball, you know, regardless of competition as such. Okay. But I've also loved the competition. But without a doubt, the main thing that I loved about sport was the gang. So I didn't grow up in a park, you know. I didn't have a gang around me all the time, but you know, if your cousins are over or if you got to go up to the field, I loved the gang, you know, and I still love the gang. I still love going up training, and even though now I'm at training, I'm one of the older crowd, but like I still love the energy from the young crowd, and I love chatting to the management teams now as well, because they're nearly close to my age, a lot of them.
How quickly that comes around.
But you know, it's a massive social support. So you know, I know we're all on, you know, 10 different WhatsApp groups and Viber groups and Facebook and so on and so forth. But you can't beat
face to face,
meeting people. And not only that, but sharing the same purpose, you know, that we're all going the one direction. And it's something that I really love. I suppose I work for myself as well. I kind of work independently on my own.
Yes. So you love to catch up with people and
maybe
chat.
I particularly love being part of that, a team as well, but I just have found it a huge support in my life. And you know, if anyone, you know, if you could stick with it and be part of it, you know, you're not going to be the best player every day. I'm not the best player every day for sure, but I still love being with the teams, and that's been, you know, given me huge enjoyment in my life.
Am I right in saying a lot of kids don't get to go outdoors like they used to before, and they aren't out playing, which we've kind of discussed, but what can we do to change that? How can we get them active and get them out?
Jesus, like, that's a tough question, you know. There's a lot of barriers in the way at the moment that maybe weren't there before. It's just about really encouraging them from a parent's perspective. They're very important in the kids' development, and to allow them to go out and to just take a wild, you know, not to tell them to stop or to, you can't do that, you can't do this, just to leave them at it.
Yeah.
They'll develop themselves and they'll learn themselves what's best for them, and they'll enable themselves to be themselves, whatever that is. If they want to go out in whatever sport they want to play or whatever activity they want to do, that'll be for them, rather than telling them they have to come in and do whatever it is that the parents want them to do. Like, I mean, my opinion, the parents are critical in that sense, but there is a lot of barriers, and, you know, it's tough at the moment.
And it's different for everyone, I suppose. I do come across a lot of youth with anxiety, kind of chasing perfection. I think a lot of that probably goes back to the internet as well. But they struggle, they seem to struggle a lot with self-confidence and other issues around that. Do you feel that this is less prevalent amongst the sporting community?
No, I think that's across the board, I would say. No, you do get, I suppose you do get, there's nowhere to hide through sport, in a sense, in that when you go play sport, and that lack of confidence that you might have, or that when you compare yourself to other people, you can't just hide. You have to go out there and live with it and overcome it and go through the struggle with it. Whereas if you don't have that sport or that activity that forces you out there, then you'll probably hide it. And, you know, that struggle could go on for a lot longer for someone that doesn't play sport or go into that activity where they're forced into it. They might carry that a lot longer, you know.
And Rena, I think from what you said a while ago, the very nature of being involved in something that is on a team, that you know, I even find if I have a tough day myself, I kind of hide away. Whereas if you're kind of forced, if you know you have training tonight, you're out with the team, I think you leave all your cares away, and, you know, you're focused, you're mentally focused on being in the moment and being there for your training session, and it has to be good for you.
I think it just has to be good for you, particularly, you know, we spoke about screen time.
Yes.
You know, when you're training, that's a definite non-screen time.
Couldn't be more, an hour and a half.
Absolutely, yeah. For everyone, management, players, everybody. So, you know, I know at a very high level of sport, you know, a little bit of anxiousness might come in. But in general, you know, sport would do the opposite for you. It definitely would help with your... I think there's research, particularly in terms of females, you know, that it definitely helps your self-confidence, self-esteem, you know.
Brilliant.
I do think, you know, we spoke a little bit about role models.
Yes.
And, you know, I think parents, aunts and uncles, cousins, you know, they are huge role models for everybody. So I think, you know, everybody should try and lead an active life. So, you know, if you're a parent trapping a child up to training,
yeah,
try and use the hour to be active yourself, you know.
Brilliant.
Walk around the pitch, jog around the pitch.
Try on your tracksuit.
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe
absolutely.
Leave the car at home if you can.
Yeah. And, you know, if kids, you know, get the kids outside practicing, practice with them yourself, you know.
Brilliant.
I think that's a huge thing. I mean, sport is excellent in terms of, you know, it's excellent in terms of health. Both physical and mental, and the more people we can have involved in it, I think the better society will be for it.
Definitely. It seems to me like a lot of people today want to be famous, quote unquote, kind of choosing likes online, self-promoting, often placing probably a higher value on popularity than on actual skills. Do you think that this type of fame chasing kind of leads to personal fulfilment? Because you've both come from the other side of that.
No, definitely not. Good, actually, quite the opposite, I would say. If you're seeking the opinions of other people to make you feel better about yourself, then you're going on the wrong path. So that's definitely something that even you go on Instagram, or whatever it is, any social media platform, there's people sharing stuff a certain way that they might perceive as something that would get them more likes. And how many times will they check that same post? And that's not an effective way to live at the end of the day, you know. So you have to, if you're in that position, you really need to just take a step back and review what's going on and you know, choose a different path. But that's definitely...
There's no long-term fulfilment in that, whereas picking up a sport is the complete opposite.
You're picking up a sport, yeah, exactly. Just there's the science behind the benefits of playing sport, the benefits of, even break it down further again, the benefits of being active. There's a science behind it that, you know, increase the endorphins and the... opening the happy chemicals in the body, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, of course there's a science behind it. And, you know, if you want to, again, like if you're in school and you're doing exams, you know, being active and, you know, getting out there and doing a bit of sport will increase your performance within the exam, because you'll have more of a balanced life. And that across the board, work and college, it all goes across the board. Playing sport and being active is a key part of, you know, being the best version of yourself and being the most effective in your life. So like, if you're going to neglect that, then everything else will follow in with it.
Great point. And yeah, I think
I'd actually like to pick up on that. I think that's a great point, you know, about you'd often hear people doing the leaving cert and, you know, they're giving up sport for the year. And I'd be hugely disappointed when I hear that. It's a huge disappointment because maybe in my life I found that the leaving cert was certainly not the hardest year in terms of study and in terms of work.
Okay.
And I think sport should be, or activity for sure, should be part of every year of your life, regardless whether it's your leaving cert year or your sixth class or your 50th year. You know, activity should be part and parcel of life. You'll do better in your work, you'll do better in your study. You know, if you're active and healthy, you'll be a better person. And I think it should be part of all of our lives, whether we're in our 50s, in our 40s, or doing the leaving cert. I think it can only but benefit us. No, you might not want to be training twice a day, 7 days a week.
Sure.
But I'm sure twice a week gives you that.
It's manageable.
Absolutely. It gives you that social outlet. It gives you that switch off time. You know, it might calm down any bit of anxiousness you have. Yeah. And it improves your ability to study as well. I think that's really important for young people in a year that can be quite pressurized. But, you know, sport gives you that little bit of perspective.
Brilliant.
And particularly if you're, I think for females, you know, if you're an 18-year-old and you might be playing on the adult team, gives you a bit of perspective on life as well, you know. And I think it's a lovely thing to be part of, and it shouldn't be neglected.
Brilliant. So 18 All Ireland medals, Rena, which is pretty impressive.
I'll take one of them. and I'd be happy with that.
Isn't it amazing? It's just so phenomenal. But that's not without hard work, you know. And with all of the wins and the victories, there has to be challenges. There's been losses. How do you deal with both ends of the spectrum? Like, you must have sat on the pitch and cried your eyes out, you know, at stages where you really wanted the win and you didn't get it. How do you deal with the balance of the two, overcoming the challenge of not getting what you want?
Yeah, I suppose first and foremost, I've been fierce lucky, you know. I've been part of great teams with great managements, you know, and I suppose I've just kind of been lucky enough to come along at the right time, in the right place, you know. So that's I've been very, very, very blessed. But yeah, we've had good days for sure, which have been fantastic, and we've had not so good days as well. But I suppose, like, you know, every person has their core support group, you know, be it your parents, your siblings, your best buddy, your partner, whoever it is.
That person you can turn to.
Yeah, and you don't need to have 20 people. You just need, you know, between one and three.
That get you, listen to you and understand
you.
Yeah,
that are just with you through thick and thin.
Brilliant.
And they'll treat you the same whether you have the best game of your life or whether you are horrendous altogether, you know. So
yeah.
I think it's very important for people to realise that, you know, you just need your core couple of people around you. Obviously, you a support network is fantastic and a group of friends, but if you can just have that backup, regardless of whether you're in high-level sport or just, you know, playing on a Sunday. But, you know, we all need those couple of people, and they'll keep you grounded. They'll keep you on the straight and narrow. And, you know, they'll be honest with you, and they'll give you support. So, you know, that's kind of how you deal with it. Same as anyone deals with, you know, any big things that are going on in their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. That it does mirror into life, and you do learn coping skills, I guess, through sport.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you know, we've all been disappointed about something or another, you know, that you've really wanted something. But, you know,
it's how you pick
yourself
up.
You can't always get what you want, you know, and that's the way it is, you know. And but I've been very fortunate, you know, and like, not even talking about wins, you know, just to be part of a lot of, you know, to have met, you know, great groups of people, you know. I've great friends and people I looked up to and people I aspire to be like, and I've managed to surround myself with really positive people, and that's been a hugely positive influence on my life, regardless of any medals that we've won. No, we've enjoyed winning a lot as well.
Of course.
Which has been, you know, fantastic as well.
It's the icing on the cake.
Absolutely, yeah. The icing on the cake, now you said it, yeah.
And Stephen, how have you coped with challenges along the way with sports?
How have I coped with them? Obviously, I would say I coped very well, but the strategies or whatever. I mean, like, you lose a lot more than you win, especially in my perspective, you lose a lot more than you win. So it's how do you take the losses and, you know, take something out of them, take something that will be...
There's a life lesson in everything.
Benefit, yeah, exactly. So, that, like, if, let's give an example. We, with the Glen, I won, I'm after winning county medal at every year, with the Glen, so 14, 15, 16, minor, 21 and senior. And we got to senior and we would have been very good. We got to senior and we won performance so well. And we got to a county final. It was 2012, I think. Whenever it was, anyway, we got to a county final in Sayers. They beat us by, I think it was 15 points, right?
Okay.
As a whole team then, we were absolutely gutted. Like, there was tears in the dressing room after. Like, oh. You know, everyone was in bits. But the following year, we took that defeat and we used it to benefit us. What it done really was it just brought us all together. And we were all on the same page. We were all at a common purpose, common value system of going forward. We got there last year. It didn't turn out well for us. Let's take that pain out and put it to good use. So we went along then. And then we played Sarah's in the county final that year. We beat them then by 14 points. So it was a 29-point turnaround.
Wow.
In what we achieved. So how we done that was just through by coming together, like, and not feeling sorry for ourselves, putting our head down, feeling sorry for ourselves, oh, it didn't go well, blaming ourselves and nitpicking at ourselves, blaming other people, and it was none of that. It was just how can we go forward now together, and how can we, you know, get over that last episode.
And is that not what life is about? Taking the lessons and moving forward. It's how you get up, how you dust yourself off, and how you take the next steps and move on.
Yeah, because I mean, again, I said, like, in life as well, there's going to be a lot of down situations people are going to go through. Like, they're going to struggle in a lot of things, like, you know, and exams are stressful, just as simple as that. Like, you know, your exams are going to be stressful. So how do you deal with the stress of the exams? Like, it maybe mightn't go your way, but at the end of the day, there's not an exam in the world that can't be repeated. Like, so just having a good mindset about it, like, and being willing to learn, having a growth mind, an open mindset in that. Anything that goes wrong for you, if you didn't put the effort in, simple as that, put the effort in the next time. If you put the effort in and it still went wrong, you know, then there's other ways you can learn and you know, go about doing maybe a different way.
Absolutely. Rena, I don't want to go into this too much because it could be a whole other podcast, but because it's so topical at the moment, the Waking the Feminists, so you have the arts looking for equality in their crafts, you've Hollywood's Time Up trying to close the gender pay gap. So how do you perceive, you know, the women's setup in GA versus the men's, without opening too many cans here, you know?
I suppose I've always loved sport. I suppose when I was younger, not as many females would have been playing, but that never bothered me, high up or low down.
Okay.
I've always enjoyed it. I've always loved being part of it.
You didn't even look at the gender thing. You just went for the love of the sport.
It didn't bother me one bit in the world. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I suppose as I've got a little bit older, I've become a small bit more aware of it.
Okay.
I think it's going in the right direction. There's a definite change, particularly in the last 5 years, I've noticed a big change.
Brilliant.
What I'd say is Rome wasn't built in a day.
Of course.
I think the change is coming. And I think for the generation that's there now, I think it's a lot more balanced in terms of the amount of females playing, you know, under 8s, under 10s, under 12s. You know, it's almost as high as the amount of boys playing in a lot of clubs, you know.
Brilliant.
And the more of that, the better. You know, I'd be saying if we can get the boys out doing a bit of Irish dancing and stuff like that.
Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
A bit of knitting.
I think from my perspective, all we can do is, you know, conduct ourselves as professionally as possible, do our very best, you know, train as well as we can and perform as well as we can.
And I would have no doubt that having, for young females in GA, to have an amazing, inspiring and hardworking role model like you is instrumental in that change, in bringing that line closer together, that border.
Yeah, but I suppose, look, everybody is a role model for somebody. You know, if people's mums stay active and grannies, and, you know, that it's just part of life, that sport is for everyone. It's not for boys, it's not for girls, it's for everybody. Everybody should be active, everybody should be playing, and just to normalise it, you know.
Yes.
We were speaking privately earlier about, you know, getting dressed up and going to the gym, but when you're playing sport, you don't look good. It's not part of the script, you know.
We were talking about how on Instagram, I would, with the kids now, I find it hard to fit exercise into my life, so I just throw on a body coach 20 minute workout before I head to work in the morning at home in the living room. My 3-year old does it with me. But if I was to take in my Instagram is my preferred platform to be on, and when I'm on it, the only pictures I ever see of exercise are females who are like a size 6, which I'm not, and they're wearing, you know, little crop tops, you know, which I would never even get into, I would never even bring into my house. And it just, if I was to follow that and believe that, I would think that sports is not for me. But
yeah,
I love
it. Often some of those images, what strikes me about them is there's no emotion attached to them either, you know, there's no.
So true.
So, I mean, with sport, and, you know, you get out and you get dirty and you might feel crap at times, but there's such elation at times as well. You know, over getting maybe a block down. It doesn't have to be winning a championship or anything like that, you know. And there's crack and there's fun. So, I mean, you probably won't look good, but you're the same as everybody else. And, you know, as long as you're enjoying yourself, you know, being healthy, having a good life, you know, I think that's far more important than being a size 6 and all the gear and on Instagram.
I agree. That's so refreshing to hear, I think, because people are being peddled certain images of perfection. And as we were saying earlier, it is a veneer on real life. It isn't reality. And I think we know that because we have a bit of life experience, but the younger generation don't. And they feel a bit anxious that, oh, I don't have this perfect life that this, you know, blogger maybe, or this famous person I follow has. And it's not like that. It's
not,
you know,
at all. You should be getting out, getting dirty, getting sweaty, getting a red head.
Do you have an Instagram? Can you set up an
Instagram?
No,
I don't have an Instagram.
I think it would be the most followed Instagram and my favourite. Because there's so many good pictures of you both in press that, again, things you see online are behind most of it. It's sponsored and it's advertising. So it's all choreographed to look perfect. But I mean, there's pictures of you both in press that are what life is all about. As you say, it's getting down and dirty, you know, they're like warrior images online of you on the field. And that's what people really should be seeing, is the reality.
Yeah, and the emotion and stuff, you know. Yeah, the highs and the lows, you know, it's part of life.
That's what life is all about, the highs and the lows. That's living. The higher you go, the lower you go, whatever it is, it's just, that's life, and there's no point in being afraid of any of it. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. In last week's episode, Chloe and Jamie, the transgender sisters, they were just phenomenal. They were saying, you know, that it's so important to sit with both emotions and allow yourself be at the happy end of the spectrum. But if you hit the low end of the spectrum, allow yourself be there as well. And I think that's a huge thing in sporting, as you said, that you can't have one without the other. And maybe one fuels the other and makes the other something that you'll enjoy even more when it comes around then. You'll appreciate it even more.
Yeah,
I think you've both juggled sporting and setting up your own business, which is no mean feat. You know, it's such a huge thing to do. Being in business myself, I know that with the population, I suppose, in Ireland and in Cork being smaller, it takes a lot of work to set up your own business. It takes a lot of time to promote it and to build it from the ground up. But how did you juggle that with sport, Rena?
I suppose it can be tricky at times, but I suppose I learnt an awful lot from the various management teams that I've had. You know, I've learnt how to conduct myself, how to manage myself, just from mimicking as such, really. You know, I suppose we were very lucky over a number of years. We had Eamon Ryan as a coach, and towards the end of his term with us, I'm very used to start writing down the things he said. They were
It's almost like having your own mentor to look up to.
But absolutely,
for you to be aware of that and to take so much note of that is just brilliant.
Yeah, but I suppose I was getting a little bit older as well, you know. I mean, when I was 18, 19, he was probably saying amazing things as well, but I never copped onto it.
Yeah. You're in a different mind zone,
I
think.
Absolutely, yeah. But that's life. There's different stages, you know.
Brilliant.
I suppose I've learned an awful lot from sport, and I've transferred it to business. No, I'm not the most successful business person in Ireland or anything like that, but I'm tippy away. I'm doing fine.
And you're doing what you love.
I really enjoy it, yeah. So I work as a physiotherapist, so I work a lot with sports injuries, but I think the main part of it is health promotion.
Okay.
And I love that aspect of it, you know, and I have my physical activity on the wall, you know, and I'll be trying to tell people how much activity they should be doing and stuff like that. And, you know, you mentioned strength training, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, getting people out and doing that and
being strong and fit.
Absolutely, yeah, I really enjoy that. And it ties in nicely with sport and all that kind of thing.
Brilliant. Stephen?
I was just about to tell Rena there, my back is sore, so I, and it is too.
Do you want to lie on the couch there?
Yeah, no, I mean, I set up my business last year, and it was, to be honest, it was tough when I was playing with Cork, especially as captain. You know, you really have to give everything you have.
Of course.
So by giving, you can't give everything you have, just, you have to choose. And when you're playing the county, I think if you don't give it everything you have, then you're not going to enjoy it, and you're going to underperform. So to perform well and to enjoy it, you have to give it all. And if you give that all, then everything else has to come second. So that's kind of where I fell into at the start. Now, I still worked away, and now that I've taken a year out, or I'm not playing in the county at the moment, you know, I'm giving everything I have to the business, and it's going very well. I'm working in the States and here in Ireland, so it's picking up big time. And
you do lots of talks, don't you, with youth outreach, and you talk in schools and that?
Yeah, so like part of my business, I have a section where I give back, and what I do is I a couple of schools and outreach centres a month, I'd go in and I do kind of talks and workshops with them. I call them confidence workshops, but they're just about life in general. It's the stuff that the schools don't teach is what I go in and preach to them about being themselves, and a bit of direction as well about where they want to go, what are they passionate about, what are the happiest when they're doing, is there a college course in that, is there, you know, is there a work job in that. Like, make them aware that you only know 5% of what's out there, so if they don't see it now, just do a bit of research, ask career guidance counsellors, go online and research it, and they'll find something for them, because there's something for everyone in the world, you know. You don't want people going, you don't want school kids choosing something because it sounds good, or they feel they might make money.
Or because mum and dad think they would be better suited in
exactly.
This. You know, that's one thing that I felt in school. I was told, you know, you had to do a secretarial course, you had to work in the bank, be a teacher. There was, you know, they just wanted to put you in a box back in the day. And I think there are so many different alternatives for students now. You know, and I think it's so important for them to know that because it mightn't be something that your parents might perceive as a career, that you may not make a lot of money at, doing what you love is everything.
Yeah, money is, like, when you look at wealth, money isn't wealth at the end of the day. Wealth is, you know, living a life that's true to you and who you are, and enjoying it and being there in the moment. You can look at someone who makes millions.
Are they happy?
They're not doing what they want to do. And they're struggling and they barely see the key, all that kind of stuff. You know, wealth isn't money at the end of the day. That's where people get mixed up. They think wealth is having a lot of money. It's not that. So, like, for kids and for any, I know there's a lot of, you know, the stats would tell you on the workforce today that a lot of people are in jobs that they don't want to be in. So, obviously, it's never too late to change. I changed my career role when I was a structural engineer for 4 years. And I made a decision that I wanted to do something else. Tough, like, you know, you're leaving security, you're leaving the safety, but you go out and you do it.
Yes.
And it was the best decision of my life. One of the best.
And it's never too late to change, as you said.
No, it is. It's never too late. You know, it is. Of course, it's not. It's a massive world out there. There's a massive opportunity. Don't think that there's nothing there for you, or you're not going to get something, or you're not good enough, or whatever it is. It's a foolish thought to have. Like,
yes. Can I ask you before we go? Because I'm conscious of time. You know, we're very good to kind of plan the future, where everyone seems to be racing forward. And one thing personally that I'm trying to do a bit more is live in the now. And instead of a to-do list, I have my ta-da list, that I have things I've achieved that day. And some days it's just keeping the kids alive, and we all got to bed in one piece. You know,
that's a good achievement now, to be fair. So,
isn't it?
Yeah,
I think so too.
That in itself.
But we're not very good at saying well done to ourselves for things. And, you know, sometimes we can spend too much time looking at what we need, where we need to get, rather than where we are, and saying, you know, well done, you did a good job today. What is the one thing within sports at the moment? I know this opinion could probably change from day to day, but what are you most proud of within your own achievements today through sporting? Oh, look at the eyes. Getting all deep.
What are we most proud of?
That you've achieved yourself.
Jesus.
I'll answer there.
Go on, Rena's ready to go. I need a bit more time here.
Yeah, I suppose I've been really lucky. When I was young, all I wanted to do was play with Cork. That's all I wanted to do with my life. And I was given the opportunity, and I managed to stick at it and give it my best shot over the last number of years. And that's something I'm hugely proud of, that I've done my very best. We've been very fortunate. We've won a lot. We've lost some as well, you know.
Yes.
But I've always done my very best, and you know,
you took
I really
that opportunity
enjoyed it,
and you really made it your own.
I did my best with it. Yeah, at times I wasn't great, but other times, you know, things went well. So
she was great a lot more times than she wasn't great. No, she's, you know, to be real,
she's fairly modest.
Yeah.
Fantastic! I love that. And Stephen.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, you know, put it simply, I mean, I was captain of Cork when I was a minor as well, you know, but it was probably my worst year of hurling that I've ever played. I got dropped as the captain, and you know, I just wasn't enjoying it. So for me then to in years to come get back at it and then become the captain of the senior hurling team and to enjoy it thoroughly, you know, I think that was a massive achievement for me. You know, obviously it was a long journey to get there, but it's the journey that took me to get there is what I'm most proud of.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Great story. Who are your biggest role models?
Nelson Mandela would be my biggest role model, because look, I was at a stage, I was in school, there's a bit of a story behind it. I was in school and, you know, I was going through a bit of a tough time in school, and I got suspended and stuff like that, like, and I was in the wrong gang, all that kind of stuff was going on, you know, I went to school disadvantaged area, it's just, you know, I was being someone I wasn't by fitting in with the group, and okay. I was a bit lost, and we had a Woodwork was the class we had, right, and teacher was a politician as well.
Right.
So if you had him, it was a job, because okay. He was going to be missing for half the year, and you had free classes, so we were all jumping with giant chair when we had him, you know. But they started to do work with us, like, they noticed that, look, he's going to go for a sustained period, so let's try and do something proactive with the students, because or else it's going to be free class, it's going to be wild. So one of the things they done was they told us to get a book of a leader,
okay,
and to do a project on him. So I was lucky that for whatever reason I chose a really effective book. It was Mandela's Way.
Wow.
Lessons on Life.
Great book.
I read that, and geez, really, really had a powerful impact on me. It's like, that's the character that I aspire to know. That's it. Like, you know,
that was your
really
changing moment.
That was a moment where I was like, oh my god, like, this man is incredible. Like, I never knew a man could have this character, could stand on his own feet, could, despite what everyone said, do what he wanted to do and do for the right reasons, forgiving the way he done, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that was, at a young age, I was very lucky that I read that book. So he would be my number one. I know I could go into about another 100 people, but
of course. No, I think you picked a great one, and a great tip for a book for people to read as well.
Yeah, Mandela's Way. Do you know what, actually, if anyone's listening to this podcast, I gave that book alone to someone about 2 years ago, and I don't know who I gave it to. I was looking for it the other day. If you have it, give it back to me.
And if not, I hope it's bought you the same perspective that it brought.
I know, yeah,
Stephen.
You've written your name in it now and everything. I know you have, but I want it back.
And Rena, who would your biggest role model at the moment be?
Yeah, that's an unbelievably tough question.
It
you know.
Is. How do you narrow it down?
How do I narrow that down? So, like, I suppose I'd have huge role models within sport. You know, when I was younger, Sonia O'Sullivan was my go-to person, without a doubt.
Wow.
She was. I still think she's absolutely.
I think we all look up to her.
Oh,
so much.
Oh my God, what a woman!
And she's surrounded in Cork with so many amazing.
Went about her business. Yeah. She was the best in the world, and to have her so close to us, we're so lucky. So when I was younger, without a doubt, she was my number one. But I suppose, look, we've, you know, both within our club setup and the county setup, you know, there's phenomenal people, both players and management, and it'd be very hard to pick anybody out. You know, I've great support at home, from my parents.
And today is Mother's Day. By the time the podcast goes out, it will be over. Yeah. But we are celebrating women, not just biological mums, but females who are shaping little people for the future and contributing to society in their own way. So we wish them all a happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's
Day.
We
just had International Women's Day as well. So it's never been more great to be a woman, I think.
Without a doubt, yeah. So. I was actually going to choose my sister.
Oh,
there you go.
What's your sister's name?
Mary is her name.
Oh, hi, Mary.
Yeah. So Mary's a twin sister of mine. So
that's lovely.
Yeah, it's. I feel sorry for anyone who doesn't have a twin. To be honest,
aww.
It's.
And do you
it's
really
a real support? Yeah.
Are you quite close still?
Hugely, hugely. We actually had our medal ceremony within Enniscarra last night, and Mary was captain, and she did a speech, and she was excellent. You know, she's someone I really look
go
up
Mary.
To you know.
That's fantastic.
I'll just touch base there on points. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, everyone is a role model. Like, no matter who you are, there's always someone watching.
Great point.
You know, and I actually was in Africa 2 years ago, and I said a few words in an African school, and there was kids hanging on to what you were saying, you know, but what I said to them was, like, there's so many younger kids in that area, and they're in their own, they're finishing up in their secondary school, but the way they carry themselves, the way they act and the way they do things, like, there's always people watching them, even if themselves, because they were looking at me and saying, oh, this is a role model. But in fact, everyone is, like, so don't think that there's no one looking up to you, because there's always someone looking up to you, and not to take you know, how you carry yourself and how you do things for granted, because it will influence. It's always influencing someone, and it's up to you if you want to do it in a positive way or negative way.
I love that. It really is about living your best life and doing what you can in your little space for the universe, isn't it? It really, really is.
Just do what you can. Success is different for different people.
Yes. Exactly. You know, so. Great point. Success really is different for people, and not to kind of pit yourself against other people or compare.
Yeah, there's not comparing yourself. Isn't good for anyone. Like, it's not good. And just living life, I mean, success and all that kind of stuff, again, like, that just could create anxiety in people, you know. And at the end of the day, like, it's only a word, you know. Just go out and live life and just, you know, do it the way you want to do it, and hopefully things will go well for you, you know.
What a great note to end the podcast on. It's been such an honour. I really didn't even get into it yet. I could stay here another hour with the two of you. Thank you so much for joining me, and thank you for contributing to our Life Hustle podcast, the Be Positive podcast. And this was the Be Sporty episode in association with Cork's Red FM. Rena Buckley, Stephen MacDonald, ye are amazing role models in yourselves, and for everything you've done, not just for Cork, but as people in general. It's been great to talk to you, and best of luck with your businesses, and best of luck with everything you have lined up for the rest of the year.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.